Well, it is good to be able to begin the new year with the Lord. And even though my voice isn't what it should be, it isn't just the organ that has lost its voice, but the preacher as well, I am determined to be able to bring God's word at the start of this new year. And really, I see the first Sunday and the week of prayer as an opportunity to clear the desk, as it were, of every other needful item during the rest of the year, but to clear the desk and simply to ask the Lord to go before us. We cannot take anything for granted. But he is faithful. And as we begin 2016, I would like us to take with us some verses from Lamentations chapter 3. We had them in our reading, verses 22 to 24. And in a few weeks' time, we'll print out these verses. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Oh, what words to hold on to as we start a new year. The book of Lamentations, as the title suggests, is one of great discouragement, because the prophet Jeremiah is breaking his heart because of the state of the church of God in captivity. And yet in the middle of the darkness, there is a glimmer of light, and it is here in these verses. And I don't need to remind you that we are in a similar situation. The church in our country is in a state of captivity, and my friends, there can still be a season of clear shining, even in such stormy times. Adoniram Judson, the first missionary to Myanmar, he used to say, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And that's what we have here. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning who is in darkness? Sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sings, it is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again a season of clear shining to cheer it after rain. And when it's been very wet, as we've known recently, when there is even a short period of sunshine, it makes it even more refreshing after such rain. There is such freshness in the atmosphere when that occurs. And in these stormy times, may the Lord so shine upon us that we will know such freshness. Now, without further ado, I just want us to consider these lovely promises here. So the first thing I want to say is this: God is faithful in the midst of afflictions. This is the motto, really, for the year. I'm sorry, I prefer it in the old translation. Great is thy faithfulness. Not our keeping on. That's not what matters so much. But God's hold upon us. That's what we are bearing witness to this morning. It is his faithfulness that has kept us safe thus far. And the first point is, great is his faithfulness in the midst of trials and tribulations. Sometimes we think of God and his providential dealings only when things are going well. We say it is providential in the sense that things are not bad. But you know what, my friends? It is just as providential when things are going bad, because God has promised to bring good out of evil. And so whatever the situation, we can say with Paul in the school of Christ, I have learnt in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. May that be our lesson in this coming year. And what Jeremiah has learnt is this: it is because of the Lord's mercies, his covenant mercies, that we are not consumed. If it wasn't for our sovereign protector, we would be lost, my friends. Well, have you ever considered that? It's not just that he saved us from eternal punishments, but he keeps us. He's kept us in the past year, and we can be absolutely certain that whatever terrorists may do, whatever the enemy within may try, he will keep us. Now, one of my Christmas gifts is a weighty tome in Welsh, The Cofiant of John Jones Talsarn, the biography of that 19th century preacher. And I want to see if this is in the biography, because I've heard it. I don't know if it's apocryphal, but John Jones was a quarryman, and he believed in the sovereignty of God. And one day, as he was working in the quarry, he was discussing with his workmates this topic, and they were making fun of him. Do you really believe God is in complete control? And then lunchtime came. And you know what? John Jones had forgotten his packed lunch. And they made even more fun of him. You think God is in complete control? He's made you forget your packed lunch. And he had to walk miles back to the village to get his packed lunch and then come all the way back to the quarry. But you know what? When he got back, the friends that were making fun of him, their faces had turned ashen grey, because the spot where John Jones would have sat to eat his lunch, a great boulder had fallen upon it. And they realized that God's sovereignty is truly beyond our understanding. He does work together all things for our good, even things we think at the time are unpleasant. We will soon see that our Father is using it for our good. We don't know in the past year what dangers, unseen as well as seen, we've been kept from. Oh, my friends, we can trust implicitly in the Lord to guide us. As I'm getting older, I don't think I can say that of man. We can't trust man. Even the best of men are men at best. Even when they make the surest of promises, because of human nature, they can't always keep their word. But God cannot lie, and God will keep us individually. But the amazing thing is this: God has promised to keep his people. We are his covenant children. Let me read this quotation. It's Matthew Henry. The church of God is like Moses' bush, burning yet not consumed. Whatever hardships it has met with, it shall have a being in the world to the end of time. Because it's not our little spark that's keeping the fire going. It is God that is keeping his work going. And like Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress in the House of the Interpreter, Christian is seeing the fire of grace. And he sees up front the devil trying to stop it by pouring water on it. But then what he doesn't see is behind a screen, the Son of Man is continually pouring oil to keep the fire going. Oh, if we are trusting in the Lord as a church, we need not fear. There is trouble everywhere, but it doesn't matter if we keep focused on Christ. What the devil doesn't want us to do is that. He wants to distract us with everything else. But keep your eyes on the Saviour. Pray for myself, for the elders, for church council, that we would be faithful. Nothing else matters. I hope you don't mind me mentioning this. There's a Welsh folk song by Dafydd Iwan. And it goes in Welsh, "In I yma o hyd, we're still here." I'm not going to sing it, I can't, my voice won't enable, thankfully. Er gweitha pawb a popeth, in spite of everything and everybody, in I yma o hyd, we're still here. Let me quote somebody better than that. The Apostle Paul, "It is by grace that I am what I am." And we can say the same this morning. It is because of his covenant faithfulness that we're still here, that we're still keeping going. And we know that it's that same grace that will bring us to the end of our journey. So that's the first point. God's faithfulness in the midst of afflictions. I don't know what this year has in store for us, but I can say with absolute certainty, whatever needs will come across our path, his grace is more than sufficient to meet those needs. And then the second point, I'll have to be briefer. God's faithfulness in the daily renewal of these covenant mercies. Look at the way Jeremiah puts it. "It's because of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning." These covenant mercies. "Of covenant mercies I sing," said Top Lady. Listen to the psalmist. Do you know what? It's so frustrating not being able to sing these hymns. I've got a new song in my heart, but I can't express it. I'll have to make do with reading them in the 103rd Psalm. These covenant mercies are described in such tender terms. Oh, listen to this. "The Lord is merciful and gracious," verse 8 of that psalm, "slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever." It will not always be stormy. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows knows our breaking points. He knows how much we can cope with. Oh, it's not just a sovereign Lord that is with us, but a Father, and at his side, the man of love, the crucified, our Saviour, our older brother, our friend. Oh, what a God. What a gospel. There's nothing stale about his mercies. We grow stale, don't we? When we try to do things in our own strength, eventually it comes to naught. But when God renews us, there's a freshness. Even though the outward man is decaying. That's true. As we get to another year, the body is definitely getting older. But the inner man isn't. The inner man is getting younger, I'm sure, and is being renewed day by day. Even when we feel like giving up, we can't, because our souls are being again renewed. It's like having a battery charger constantly renewing our spiritual energies. I find that amazing. I really do. And it's this which I always come back to. In human weakness, God's strength is especially manifest. It's as if this is true. The more strong we are in ourselves, the more likely we are to become stale. But the more weak we are in ourselves, the more God's strength is going to be working in us. That's what the Lord is bringing us all to in different ways, to that place where he's saying, my son, my daughter, it's me that you need, my grace, not your own strength. New every morning. I don't know how this new year is finding you this morning, but do you want to follow the advice of the Sunday school chorus? Let's all do this. Count. Where are you this morning? Are you in darkness? Are you in light? It doesn't matter. Do some maths. Count your many blessings. Write them down. Name them. One by one. Have you ever read Solzhenitsyn? He's got a little book called A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, and it describes, from Solzhenitsyn's experience in the Gulag, the life of a fictional character, and just one day. And what's so striking about this book is how little things become a blessing when you are really in dire straits. It's the little things of life that we take for granted when things are going well. They become so rich in blessing. And, you know, Solzhenitsyn describes this man keeping just a crumb of bread so that he can have something to feast on in the evening. Now count your many blessings, the little things as well as the big things. Let me read you a list. I came across this. I don't know who said it. Every breath. Every sip of water. Every crust of bread. And then I like this. Every stitch of clothing. Count your many blessings. We have come here this morning well fed, I trust. Well, some maybe. We have come from warm homes. Our lines are fallen in pleasant places. Even if circumstances become worse for us, there is still the states able to look after us. That's not there in many parts of the world. And then when we think
of our Christian heritage. What riches we have. And then when we come to our spiritual wealth, oh, we can't even begin to talk about our blessings. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. I have something and you have something that not even the angels in heaven possess. Sins forgiven, Christ our substitute, clothed in his righteousness. Not even Adam and Eve in paradise had that perfect righteousness. And God with us, the hope of glory, the word of God to guide us, the gift of the Spirit, what we're praying for this week, that we would be baptized with the Spirit. Oh, we have so many. No wonder the hymnist says, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth for 2016. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Who needs an angel to guide if we have the Son of Man? Strength for today. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. And then, I've just come across this before I move on. Every divine blessing has the freshness and fragrance of the morning about it. You know, John, Mary's husband, when he was a shepherd, he used to get up at some unearthly hour, 4 o'clock in the morning. And he used to say, there was something in the air that hour. And this is how this person says it. Every divine blessing has the freshness and fragrance of the morning air about it. Unfailing as the morning dawn, bright and joyous as the morning sunshine, brilliant and sparkling as the morning dew, sweet and invigorating as the morning air. And then thirdly, finally, what's the crux of it all? God's faithfulness ultimately is simply this. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion and your portion. You see, what Jeremiah is coming to is this. These blessings, yes, they are gifts, but it's the giver. That's the source of everything. It's like these blessings come from a reservoir, and that reservoir will never run out because it's an infinite being, and that reservoir of grace is Christ himself. Oh, this is what Wesley said. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. It was the case in the Old Testament that every tribe had a portion of the land divided to them. But the tribe of Levi didn't. Now you'd have thought, how hard on them not to have any land. But you know what? They had the better deal, because the Lord himself was to be their inheritance. And now, my friends, there is no more priesthood, because we're all priests. And God doesn't give us often physical blessings all the time. He does. I've mentioned them. But even when they are declining, there is one blessing that will never be taken from us. The Lord himself. The Lord is our portion. What riches. William Spencer-Kellin said, Jesus, all sufficient. Beyond telling is thy worth. In thy name lie greater treasures than the richest found on earth. Such abundance is my portion with my God
And then in the second stanza, there are these words, "Thou thyself art heaven's delight." There's another hymn in Welsh which says, "Mae'r Iesu yn fwy na'i roddion." Jesus is more than his gifts. "Mae'r Iesu yn fwy na'i ras." He's even greater than his grace. The Lord is the ultimate blessing. Is our goal God himself? Not blessings, ultimately, but Christ, his known and felt presence. There's so many hymns that talk about this, because it's best felt than telt. It's only poetry that can express the fullness of this. Oh, let me just give you some. Really, I wish I could sing these, but let me just read a few. I've already read one. Oh, what about this? "Jesus, my all in all thou art." That's true. My all in all. "My rest in toil, my ease in pain, the medicine of my broken heart, in war my peace, in loss my gain, my smile beneath the tyrant's frown, in shame my glory and my crown, in want my plentiful supply, in weakness my almighty power, in bonds my perfect liberty, my light in Satan's darkest hour, my help and stay whene'er I call, my life in death, my heaven, my all." You see what Wesley's doing? It's not the blessings he's concentrating on, but the source of the blessings. And it's Christ himself who has become wisdom to us, and sanctification and justification and righteousness and ultimately redemption. It's Christ. Thou, O Christ, art all we want. Can we say that? More than all in thee we find. I'm always challenged by Toplady when he says, "Object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me, all to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. Thee to praise and thee to know constitute my bliss below. Thee to see and thee to love constitute my bliss above. Lord, it is not life to live, if thy presence thou deny. Lord, if thou thy presence give, 'tis no longer death to die." Can I say this at the risk of sounding unsound? I want to use it as an illustration. Heaven is a hell if Christ isn't there. Hell is transformed to heaven if Christ is there. Now, that doesn't make sense, but you get the meaning. I sometimes thought of it like this. When I was being called to the ministry, I couldn't lay any conditions before the Lord, you know. I had to go where he was going to send me. And I used to pray, "Lord, please, not Lincolnshire. Anywhere but Lincolnshire." Not that I have anything against the good people of Lincolnshire. We had one lead our service this morning. It's just the flatness. I don't know if I'd be able to cope, Lord. There's no mountains there. But even a flat place like Lincolnshire, with Christ's known and felt presence, could be a paradise. And even the best of mountains, like the Coolins on the Isle of Skye, would be nothing, a wilderness without Christ. Now, do you understand? It's having Christ with me that will make this world a heaven below. I don't know where the Lord may lead you, may lead us in the year ahead. But if you have him, it doesn't matter. As I quoted in the Watch Night service, one of the Puritans said, and it was so honest, "Lord, sometimes I don't know where you're taking me, but I know with whom I am going." That's what matters. I know with whom I am going. And then one quote to end, and then I must be done, otherwise my voice will go. Andrew Bonar, a 19th century pastor in Scotland, he lost his wife. It was quite a blow for him. And he wrote afterwards, and this was on the death of a grandson. So imagine that. He'd already lost his wife, and now he'd lost his grandson. Infant mortality rates were much higher then. And this is what he said. Broken, broken cisterns. Broken cisterns all around. But he didn't despair, because he said, but the fountain remains full. Christ is the same. Broken cisterns, but the fountain remains full. Oh, my friends, may we in this new year avail ourselves of the fountainhead, and may we trust implicitly in our God to lead as he has already done. We've been able this morning to raise our little Ebenezers and witness that hither by his help we are come. And as we look at the way ahead, let us realize we're in good company, and that he knows the way he takes, and his sight is never dim, and he sees the end from the beginning. Of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's sing now that hymn.